All right, it's opening day for the home portion of the schedule. Sox fresh off a series win in Seattle.
Yes.
Disappointing yesterday, but you're not going to win them all, man. You're not.
Yeah, I understand that. You can't win them all either when you got to choose cremation over being buried. The idea that you're afraid of both while you're dead is crazy. You got to talk to Rick about that. He's going to straighten you out.
I wonder if he's made a decision on something like that.
I don't think he wants to.
Anyway, White Sox GM, VP, our guy. He's a great friend of the show over the years. Man. He is Rick Hahn of the White Sox. He joins us next. Hey, Rick, happy opening home portion of the schedule day.
Hey, thanks, guys, and thanks for having me.
Can you believe my partner here, Rick? We talk about cremation versus being buried, and he says, well, I'm afraid, I'm claustrophobic. And then he's like, how do you know? If you're dead, how do you know? Could you please straighten him out?
Well, I haven't thought about those options since about the sixth inning of last night's game. So.
Exactly.
So let's ask you about, look, I know it's everyone in the game goes, it's a marathon, not a sprint. We as fans, we overreact to everything. So how do you feel your team is right now?
Look, there's obviously some things we need to tighten up. That said, starting off on the West Coast, first 7 days in a row playing every day, having suffered a few injuries, coming out of there with a series win and 3-4, although it could have been better, it obviously could have been a lot worse. So while we know there's a few things that need to get better and will get better, probably primarily the defensive play, so far we're off to a decent start, and it's time to tighten up the things that need to be cleaned up and build some momentum here as we start the home portion of the schedule.
Rick, being around the White Sox for a long time, I know things change from year to year, decade to decade. How much time do Major League Baseball clubs usually put in as far as infield and outfield work? Because it's so busy. You got, you know, trying to make sure you're watching tape and going through batting practice. So how much time is really put into those things on a daily basis?
It is tight, and do keep in mind that under the still existing COVID protocols, we are a little bit restricted on how long guys can be at the ballpark for their own safety. So the window to do the work is a little smaller than what we deal with in a traditional year. That said, certainly was one of the main priorities in spring training for Tony and the staff was preaching the fundamentals and working repeatedly on it. And as we go into the home schedule and get into that natural rhythm of the season, I know it's going to continue to be a priority for guys. And look, it obviously was not a great series or a great start to the season from a defensive standpoint in particular, but that is an area we feel pretty good about. We're not expecting a Gold Glove center fielder to drop a fly ball that he makes 99, or perhaps more than that, even 99 and a half times out of 100. Eaton had some adventures out there, but he's obviously traditionally a very strong defender as well. So these are things that over the course of 162 are certainly not only going to even out, but we expect we'll get to their normal plus level over the course of the summer.
Rick, how do you deal with Aloy? I guess you just assume he's gone for the year, and then if we get him back early, awesome. Andrew Vaughn's getting this great opportunity. At what point do you and your staff start looking around going, hold on a minute, can we acquire that guy? Can we sign that guy who's not with anybody right now? How do you make that determination? At what time?
You know, I think you hit the nail on the head is you have to approach it like Aloy is going to be gone for the year, just from a coverage standpoint, and if at some point he comes back sooner and we wind up with the embarrassment of options out there, so be it. That's a good problem to have. And quite frankly, we started the conversations about how do we plug this thing, both internally and externally, right as soon as it happened, the day after we knew what we were dealing with. So I think there's sort of the traditional axiom in baseball where you spend 2 months figuring out what you need, you spend the next 2 months going out to plug the holes that you know exist, and you spend the last 2 months letting them play. And that's probably the general timeline because really teams aren't looking to move players so early in the season. It does take probably till closer to early June before talks get real substantive. Certainly, it's not as if there's a the great amount of impactful position players on the move right around opening day. Teams are pretty set in their rosters, and they're going to let their guys go play. So I would say, you know, we let this thing go for a couple of months as we continue to explore our options and see where we're at come summer as we get closer to the deadline.
Rick, how do you evaluate the leadoff spot in 2021 versus maybe 10 or 15 years ago? Is it as important as it once was?
I tell you what, we sure love having Tim Anderson in that spot, the way he sets the tone, the way he, you know, brings the energy and certainly can get the offense going for us each and every night when he's in there. Is that different than, say, when a Ricky Henderson brought that kind of energy to the position? No. But is it different from, you know, in recent vintage where you want to have a primarily your best OBP man in that spot? Perhaps that's a little different. We're blessed in having TA, and when he's healthy, obviously, and hopefully he'll be back once the 10 days are up a week from the day. But if we didn't have that, then perhaps we are looking at perhaps a little more traditional who's going to be the best table setter in terms of getting on base and perhaps being able to steal a base for us if needed in that situation.
Michael Kopech's pitched 4 innings. He's looked phenomenal. I mean, I watched him in spring training. I went, yeah, okay, we'll see. He hadn't pitched. August would have been 3 years since he'd thrown a pitch in a major league game, not a spring game. How do you envision his usage? Is there a number of innings you're like, I don't care where we are, he's not throwing a ball past that number of innings?
We do not have that magic number. We don't have that sort of, once we get here, we're going to have to shut them down, similar to what we've seen other clubs deal with in recent years. Instead, we have a general idea where we think he should get to or could get to over the course of the summer, and we understand that, quite frankly, none of us are smart enough to know if that's going to be too little or too many or just right. And we're going to have to continue to be flexible and open-minded with how he looks over the course of the summer. So far, obviously, it's gone really well. The multi-inning reliever option for him, where he's come in and helped stabilize us in a couple of wins, like that's a really good use of him in leverage and giving us length and taking some of the load off of both the starters and the guys in the pen. So we've been real pleased with it so far. I foresee it continuing along this path for the foreseeable future, but if we need to adjust it to perhaps increase his load or decrease his load, depending on how he looks and feels and what our eyes are telling us, we'll do so over the course of the summer.
You've taken care of Mercedes with a car dealer's deal, right? I mean, where would one find a Mercedes dealership where your mean is? Where could we find?
You know, that's got to be a layup for Brooks Boyer and his people, I would say.
Yes. I mean that's a must-watch now. You have to be surprised. It must be an eye-opener to see the start he's had, because now he's a social media favorite. You can't wait to see what he does next.
Your gift shop announced that they now have your mean Mercedes jerseys on sale. They had none in stock a week ago.
Hell yeah.
That's just how we drew it up. I mean, that's just good.
Yeah.
it's great for a number of reasons. You mentioned the social media presence for Yerm. He's been talking for a year now about his fans in Chicago, and it's almost been like a little bit of an inside joke about all the Yerm fans in Chicago, when it really was sort of your more diehard Sox fans who followed the minors who knew about Yermin and the fact that all he's done at every level is hit. On a personal level, you feel just great for the kid, because he's been through so much, you know, played in the Pecos League, been released. Obviously, we took him in the minor league phase of the Rule 5, which is really sort of an under-the-radar way of acquiring players. And it's just a great result for him, and a nice tribute to our player development staff and our scouting staff that identified and helped continue to advance this player, who's obviously got a great deal of talent and a huge personality that people really are going to embrace.
Here's one that I've wanted to ask you for a long time. Like, if you went back to 1992, armed with the analytical data and knowledge you have today, I've had people in the game go, that would be like shooting polka dot fish in a striped barrel. It wouldn't be fair, the advantage you'd have. What is the next great frontier? Because from my seat, I would bet it's scientific data that can foreshadow injury.
That you took the words out of my mouth. Not exactly, but I was going to say health. health is the next is the area that ideally, if we could somehow improve our ability to project future injury and obviously thereby avoid it by altering usage or training or nutrition or whatever element we could use as a driver to keep guys healthy. I mean, that's we talk about over the course of the summer, like, what's the number one thing you want to do? Stay healthy. Every team says that. If we can be blessed with good health, if we can avoid what the baseball gods have in store for us, it's a huge competitive advantage if you're able to, I don't know, pick a number. You have to only field 30 players over the course of the summer instead of getting into the 40s like most of us wind up having to do due to health and misfortune. So if there's a way to crack that code, that would be that next advantage, and you'll be probably talking to either my successor or my successor's successor 20 years from now saying, that was the code I'm glad they broke at some point.
Rick, how do you measure, like a Vaughn or with Nick Madrigal, how do you measure the draft status of a player versus playing time and the amount of playing time that that player receives or earns?
Are you talking once they get to the big leagues?
Yes.
You know, I think we have to keep in mind, not just with Vaughn and Madrigal, but even with Luis Robert, just as we did with Moncada when he came up, that there still is going, and Eloy, that there's still going to be this element of development at the big league level. There's still going to be, you know, bumps in the road. There's still going to be the occasional mental lapse or the game speeding up to a level that, you know, forces them into an uncomfortable situation occasionally. The only way to get through that is through having them out on the field and having them get those repetitions. I understand the idea that you want to sort of ease these guys in and put them in the best position to succeed and have success early and then build off that success. So we're going to be cautious with exactly how any young players deployed during their debut. But ultimately, we know that talent is going to win out, and these guys need to play. And over the course of 6+ months, they're going to get ample opportunity to show who they are and what they can do.
So as I watched Billy Donovan coach the Bulls, they had a couple games that they literally just gave away at the end. And both times, he went to the media and said, "That's not on them. That's on me. I should have taken a timeout and advanced the ball there. Or I should have had that guy out of the game. That's on me. Don't blame them. Blame me." Your manager did the same thing last night. I love coaches and managers who are managing with confidence and going, "Hey, man, I know I'm good at what I do." And Tony said, "That was a lousy job of managing in the sixth inning. That's on me." When you hear that, how do you feel about that?
I mean, I'm with you, Cap. I think that's great. I, not just for Tony, but, you know, as you mentioned, and Billy Donovan or anyone. You just, whether it's sports or politics or education or whatever, you love it when people actually take ownership of their decisions. Now, in the sports context, it perhaps can get a little overstated, because obviously it's the players needing to execute the plan. The manager or the coach can only put them in the best position to succeed, give them the information and the latitude to excel, and then if they don't deliver, I like the idea of the coach or the manager taking responsibility for the decisions they made, but we do know in the end it's the players that win these games for you, and ultimately everything we can do is just put them in the best position to hopefully follow through on that successful plan.
Well, Rick, for me in the West Coast trip, it's survive in advance, a lot of coffee up there until 12:30 in the morning. I was there watching, and Sox fans were too, looking forward to today and moving forward throughout the season. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Look forward to doing it again soon, guys.
You're the best. Hey, Rick, make sure there's a picture of Hoodie and I on the concourse. Make sure nobody defaces the picture of me on that side.
I mean, we only got so much security, but we'll try.
Yes.
Appreciate you. See you, man. There he is. Rick Hahn, Executive VP and General Manager of the Chicago White Sox. Carmen Yurko will be live from the PointsBet Sportsbook in Crestwood from 10 until 2. Then we have our special Royal Sox pregame, 2 o'clock with Connor McKnight. And then Len Casper, Darren Jackson, crank it up at 3 for the Sox and the Royals. Then the postgame show, then Black and Abdallah. We'll be right back.
World Star.